Defense Secretary Ash Carter rolls out a series of personnel reforms he says will increase retention by making the military more family-friendly. The changes include more parental leave, expanded child care services, and added flexibility for military members to stay in one place for longer. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu has details.
The family-focused announcements represent the second tranche of changes Carter has announced so far under his broader Force of the Future initiative. Speaking to reporters at the Pentagon Thursday, he said he wanted the department's policies to reflect the needs of a generation of service members who are having children later in life, want more stability in their job locations, and frequently involve two working parents. More than 80,000 military couples, by the way, are made up of dual military members. All the military services will start offering up to 12 weeks of paid maternity leave to new mothers. That's up from the 6 weeks currently available to members of the Army, Air Force, and Coast Guard, but down from the 18 weeks Navy Secretary Ray Mabus granted to sailors and Marines starting last year.
Certainly, offering a more generous standard for maternity leave is imperative for attracting and retaining talent. We see the same phenomenon year after year. Women at peak ages for starting a family leave the military at the highest rates. Medical data also indicate that offering 12 weeks of maternity leave is also imperative to military mothers themselves. They show that spending more time with infants and recovering from their pregnancies is, as a medical matter, very valuable to mothers to facilitate recovery, feeding, bonding, and more. Private sector data also strongly suggest a direct benefit on retention, and that employees who have access to and make use of parental leave perform better when they return to work. They stay with their organizations longer and are able to make greater contributions. And I don't take lightly that 12 weeks of maternity leave represents a downshift from what the Navy pursued last summer. But I believe that we will be at the forefront in terms of competition, especially as part of the comprehensive basket of family benefits we're providing across the joint force.
As for new military fathers, paid paternity leave will increase from the current 10 days to 14. And Carter says that when new military moms return to work, their workplaces need to accommodate those who choose to breastfeed their new children. He ordered all U.S.-based DoD facilities with more than 50 female employees to designate mother's rooms. The department estimates the change will affect about 3,600 workplaces across the country. He also ordered an expansion of the business hours of the military's child care facilities, responding to complaints that the child development centers aren't open long enough to accommodate the 50-hour work weeks that are common for non-deployed service members. All military CDCs will stay open for at least 14 hours a day.
Today, nearly half of all military families have to rely on an additional child care provider to meet their needs, in part because the hours we provide don't match their demanding schedules. In some respects, our child care options today reflect the needs of a different era, of a time when, for the vast majority of military families, only one parent worked outside the home. That's a problem we need to address. And as we looked at this issue over the past 9 months, we saw a link between dissatisfaction with child care and difficulties with retention.
For families who want to stay in one location for longer periods of time instead of undergoing permanent changes of station every 2 to 3 years, DoD will give local commanders wide discretion to let service members stay in one place for longer. In exchange, military members would have to agree to extend their existing commitments to stay in the military. Carter would not say how long those extensions would be, but he said they would only be offered in cases where commanders determined that they would not impact military readiness.
We have to balance the flexibility here against our necessity as America's fighting force. And that's why there's a trade, and that's why there's commander's discretion. So it's actually going to depend upon the circumstance. We'll give some broad guidelines. We're working on them now across the services, but it's important that commanders have flexibility here. But for a family who has a son or daughter who receives treatment in a particular hospital or who suffers from a particular disability, remaining longer in a location where there's specialized, high-quality care can make a world of difference. Other families want to remain in one place longer to allow son or daughter to finish high school in one place, with friends, teachers, and teams they're close to. or perhaps to be close to grandparents or other family.
Another change would address a fairly common but little discussed aspect of the counterinsurgency wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The proliferation of improvised explosive devices in those combat zones left many military members with permanent damage or destruction to their reproductive organs. The Pentagon will launch a pilot program that would cover service members' costs to freeze their sperm or eggs prior to being deployed to a war zone. Carter says the intent is to give greater peace of mind to military families who intend to have children but aren't ready yet.
This investment will also provide greater flexibility for our troops who want to start a family but find it difficult because of where they find themselves in their careers. Particularly for women who are mid-grade officers and enlisted personnel, this benefit will demonstrate that we understand the demands upon them and want to help them balance commitments to force and commitments to family. We want to retain them in our military. We're also committed to continuing to look at how we can provide advanced reproductive technologies like IVF to a wider population. Today, we provide reduced cost treatment at 6 locations across the country, and we'll study how to broaden this coverage in the future. By providing this additional peace of mind for our young service members, we provide our force greater confidence about their future, while providing one more tool to make the military a more family-friendly employer, an employer that honors the desire of our men and women to commit themselves completely to their careers or to serve courageously in combat while preserving their ability to have children in the future.
With regard to the broader DoD personnel system, Carter has previously described himself as a man in a hurry to make sweeping reforms to the way the department handles its military, civilian, and contract personnel. He announced the first set of changes last fall, most of which focused on letting DoD employees move back and forth from the private sector more easily than they can today by ramping up initiatives such as the Career Intermission Program and restructuring the department's internships. Brad Carson, the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, led a team that recommended much more controversial changes, including a significant revision to the military's up-or-out approach to promotions and an entirely new system for managing civilian personnel. Carter has less than a year left to tackle those much thornier questions, many of which would require consent from Congress. Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.